Welcome to the Tile S Den podcast number 345. It is the 31st of July. We are coming off a fairly traumatic weekend, even for our own club standards, and here to talk about all things Reading FC, as always, is my very good friend Ross Webber. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thanks. It is indeed the 31st of July for me. It's not July 31st. You know, I'm on the right side of the Atlantic. You can take that however you want, you know, the right side of it, or yeah, the correct side of it, whatever you want to go with there. But I'm in the UK, excited to see my, you know, one of my few Reading games per season at the weekend.
Well, excitement is very, very low on the ground at the moment. So hopefully we can try and provide you with a little bit of positivity around that. Before we get going, a big thanks to our sponsors, ZTZ Films, who once again have agreed to sponsor us for the upcoming season on this pod. It helps us do all the things that we do. You know, we've got a little bit of kind of cash flow to be able to improve things here and there. We've got some big things coming on the pod in the next couple of weeks, a few changes that we're going to make as well. But all in all, you know, we're trying to stay as positive as we can do. Before we get started, though, I'd just like to make an apology, Ross, because there was a video or photo, rather, that surfaced of me last week, which was posted to my own Twitter account by me. And I had bumped into Dave Kitson, who was down at the opening of the brand new Rivermead Leisure Centre. If you've not been, it's absolutely fantastic. I'm not on commission, but if you are in the Reading area and you want to go somewhere, brilliant. But I was wearing a T-shirt that looked suspiciously like an Oxford United shirt, and I can categorically state that it wasn't an Oxford United shirt. It was indeed a Chicago Bulls T-shirt. Very keen on Chicago Bulls, Last Dance, all this sort of stuff.
Right, okay.
Just want to get that cleared up.
How are you going to keep up the Chicago Bulls charade, Ben, until you reveal that I'm actually a dual Oxford fan? You know, you're a Thames Valley fan.
Well, you know, it was one of those. I was a bit like, oh, God, it does look like that. So I just want to get that cleared up so we can all move on and you know, hopefully talk about some positives as we move into the recap of this past weekend.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Right, Ross, I have deliberately stayed away from pre-season friendlies. I haven't really seen too much. I know you've probably watched a few more. I don't want to dwell too much on the Swansea game because it was an absolute mess by all accounts. And looking at the team, we are very, very thin on the ground at the moment. So basically what we're gonna do is we're just gonna talk over the team, about the general vibe around the club and generally just try and think about some of the positives that may or may not be within that team at the moment. So what overall were your kind of thoughts on that particular situation?
Well, it was difficult, wasn't it? Because the whole game was kind of overshadowed by, again, not communication, but rumours swirling all around Twitter. And it's always difficult when that's going on because the players are going to be partially aware of that. The fans are definitely going to be aware of that. And yet no one is really allowed to address it directly. So I just think it's a miserable atmosphere to go into that final preseason game with. That said, the one thing I will say about the game is that Reading actually played fairly well for 45 minutes, only conceded one goal. And if we can register him, Charlie Savage looks like quite a player. So that's exciting. But yeah, obviously, game was certainly overshadowed by what had happened beforehand. And this is the issue with the club just refusing to communicate. So yeah, tricky afternoon for Reading. Obviously, things kind of snowballed in the second half. I think that if anyone's seen the third goal where Boyce Clark essentially passes it to the Swansea forward in his own box while he's out of the net, it just gives a good sense for where Reading FC are right now. And yeah, that's really all there is to say about that Swansea game.
Yeah, I mean, they were victims of their own downfall, really. And I think as a club, that's the story of the last sort of 5-6 weeks, potentially the last 5-6 years, really. You know, if you don't know, where have you been? But, you know, obviously the rumours really are circulating and are quite rife about, you know, the tax not being paid, embargo, everything else on top of that. And that's been the story of the pre-season. And you know, I was on a pod last night for one of the Derby fan sites, and we had like a little round table. And my biggest thing was frustration, as I'm sure everyone else feels, because it was a classic opportunity for us to rebuild after relegation, and we've not done that. You know, we had a little spurt where we sort of brought four or five players in. Things start to look positive again, and we're back to square one. And it's very, very frustrating, because you look at that team against Swansea, and you'd probably bet currently at the moment that most of those would start against Peterborough. Yeah. And we are still 3-4 weeks behind. You know, Seller said it after the game, where he was just like, I need players in, we're not ready. And that's, you know, you should be going into the start of a new season feeling really confident and positive. And, you know, for me personally, I'm anything but at the moment. We are going to talk about Peterborough sort of a little bit later on. But in terms of where the squad is at, Ross, you know, it's kind of pointless us to go, well, we need this player, we need that player. We probably need 8 bodies in. And realistically, that's not going to happen before Peterborough. Do you feel, based on the kind of limited information that you've got, whether that be rumours, whether that be facts, that we will be able to get players in, you know, coming before the weekend?
I'm not confident of that. From the discussions that players who were willing to talk had over the weekend, again, not through any official channels, but with, you know, fans at the exits and things like that, it seemed like the main message that was coming out of them was, hey, there's going to be a lot of kids who are going to have to play in the first few weeks, some of whom have never played professional football before, let alone played football at this level. So I think that if the squad is expecting to, you know, to have to have that going on, then I think we need to be realistic about what's going on. Obviously, it's a real shame that Sam Smith got injured, it seems, this week as well, because that just leaves us yet another full, you know, actual professional down. But yeah, it's really tricky to predict a lineup. We'll talk about what I think the lineup might be for Peterborough later, but trying to predict it is so difficult when you don't know who's going to be registered, who, you know, if we're going to be able to bring anyone else through the door before Peterborough, which seems somewhat unlikely right now. But, you know, last week we were doing a podcast on how Reading were finally doing bits and stuff like that, and a week later we're right back in this malaise. So it's just difficult to do anything but just be a little bit exasperated at this point, I think.
So I think realistically the malaise is a really good word to use, because it's felt like that for a long time, and kind of the, you know, we've said time and again on this pod, and we've said it in articles, and we've said it, you know, to anyone who listens, is that the reason that there is so much anxiety and, you know, unrest, I guess, really. Not so much toxicness, because I think for the first time this will work in certainly in the manager's favour, and certainly in the way that, you know, the players are seen. Like, mm-hmm. The fans want to get behind the manager and the players, right? That's not the issue. Even some of the staff, for example, like, people are still batting for Bowen. But because there's no communication, because there's nothing coming out of the club, people fill it with, you know, potentially are facts, but the rumour at the moment is absolutely rife. And, you know, we on this podcast, it makes it very, very difficult to kind of go, well, we think this is going to happen, we think that's going to happen, because we just don't know. We don't know whether or not bills are being paid. We don't know whether staff are being paid. We don't know whether players are being paid. And kind of on that, you know, look into the new season, you know, we know about how the fans feel about Dai Young. We know how they feel about the ownership. We know that we've got a group set up, you know, Sell Before We Die, which everyone will know about by now. And one of their, you know, one of their drivers and their key plans for the upcoming season is this kind of sit-in protest after the Peterborough game. You know, they've always been very, very clear they want to back the team and they want to get behind them. Do you, based on your understanding of the situation, do you think that will have an impact on how the owner is seen, you know, even more, not just within the club, but nationally, perhaps in his native land of China? Do you think that this is going to have an impact?
I think the where I'm at with where the owners are at is something that came off the broadcast from Radio Berkshire this weekend, where Tim Deller was basically saying it seems that the CEO is basically AWOL and the interest in the club has waned from the owner. So I don't think it's necessarily the owner who's going to pay attention, but getting the attention of the national media, making it more of a cause célèbre, for lack of a better term, it's always a good thing. I do really appreciate that the fan groups are coming together and that the fan groups are wanting to back the team and the manager because like I was saying, there's going to be a lot of young players playing. So I think it's really important for their mental health as much as anything to not have to deal with fans chanting, anti-ownership things at them while they're trying to convert a corner or something like that. It's just another thing to have to deal with while some big centre back is hanging on to you. I think that a sit-in is it's a good idea in terms of getting everyone into the same area. I think what I would advise for anyone, obviously, and take everything with your own opinion and grain of salt, is to, make sure that you are kind and courteous with the staff at the stadium. They're not the ones that have put us into this malaise. They're doing their jobs, hopefully getting paid. But at the end of the day, it's not their fault. So let's make sure that we're not causing issues for them necessarily. But yeah, I think that there is a need to do something. We can't just do nothing at this point. We have to show our dissatisfaction, whether the owner's even thinking about that, difficult to say at this point, seems like no. And yeah, I'd say I'm encouraging and supportive of anyone who wants to do it. But just, be kind and courteous with the stadium staff. I'll say it one more time because I think that's really important. It's not their fault. So let's make sure that our frustration is directed in the right place.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key thing as well is to see how many people take part in it. There's obviously been a lot of ideas. Some are kind of more extreme than others, maybe. But I feel like this is probably a good starting point. We've been met this morning with rumors of a potential takeover. We know that this is football, and we know you can ask a Derby fan how they feel about Chris Kirchner, for example. It's going to be a while before this A gains traction and B kind of moves forward with anything that we might resemble a fresh start, which is what everyone deserves really at the club and everyone needs. So we'll see. We're gonna head into the mailbag because there's a few sort of choice questions on there. So we'll do that after this short announcement.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Right. First one kind of builds on what we've said, really. Chris Redding, lovely surname, Chris. Love that.
Right.
Interesting spelling, but it's we like that. It's good. He basically says, "When is this all going to end?"
Yeah.
Is it that getting money out of China is slow and difficult? Is that why these larger bills are seemingly never paid on time? I mean, I guess really, I'll take the first bit if that's all right, Ross. When is this all going to end? Don't know. Without sounding like Mick McCarthy, it could go on for as long as the owner is in charge. Clearly there are fundamental issues with how he runs businesses. We know that factually because he's run several clubs into the ground. Whether or not that was his fault or what, I'm not sure. But it was under his stewardship that happened. I mean, I think the easy way to answer that is when he moves on. You don't know what you're going to get, but you'd hope it would be a damn sight better than what we've already got in place in terms of the structural running of the club day to day. What is your understanding in the second part of that question? I mean, Chris has said, is it that getting money out of China is slow and difficult? I mean, what's your understanding, Ross, of
I'm
Welsh
actually really
finance?
glad he asked that because it's a really interesting question. One of my favorite national football media things has always been Tifo Football. They've done an excellent video on the Chinese Super League. And I think that many of us will remember. There was a period where it wasn't the Saudi Pro League, it was the Chinese Super League that was taking on lots of ex-Premier League players at very high wages and things like that. Didier Drogba went, Oscar, Hulk, lots of players like that went over there and made a lot of money
I think
and played in
Ramirez was there as well, wasn't he? Everyone from
Ramirez, yeah,
Brazil, yeah.
Paulinho, a lot of Brazilian players actually, now that I'm thinking
Funny
about
that.
it,
Yeah.
flying over there. But yeah, so really interesting video from Tifon that I'll try and post it later on, whereby they kind of talked about how the Chinese for a while were really trying to promote that, using that as one of their wings to promote the country as a brand and all these kinds of things. And then eventually that idea sort of soured. Again, go watch this video. I'm a little loose on the details here, but it does seem to be less appetite in general for promoting football within China. And then, and that could be rubbish, but that seems to be where the case is. But I know that for sure, one thing that the Chinese are government are trying to do right now is stop more money from being moved out of China, into Western courses and things like that. So I think that's one of the issues we've run into. The owners of clubs at higher levels, a lot of them have switched to American owners and things like that, and Saudi owners, Arabian owners, in the last few years, we've kind of seen a changing landscape. So I think that unfortunately with Dae Young, and we knew that there were issues already because they found issues when Hull, he tried to take over Hull in the Premier League. I think we unfortunately kind of got our Chinese billionaire investor right at the end of when that era of football was really happening. And now we're in this new era. I'm thinking Inter Milan have lost their Asian owners, and I think they've moved into American ownership now. Lots of clubs like that are moving into that era of football investment. So it's a really tricky one. And I think that what you said is right. This doesn't end until we have a new owner, and we don't know that it's going to get better when we have a new owner because of the situation with Derby, the situation with Wigan, where they brought on new owners and had issues. But I don't see this getting better because I think culturally, we've kind of moved on from the era of Chinese billionaires really putting tons and tons of money into clubs. I could be wrong about that. I'm sure people can throw several examples at me, but that's my take on it. My very uninformed take.
I mean, it's a good point, isn't it? You look at the time that he brought or kind of switched ownership to take Reading on, and it was a time when the Chinese league was really doing what the Saudi league is doing now. And the Chinese league has pretty much died a death in terms of kind of getting those big names in. Although they have just signed Lucas Joao, so he's
I'm glad you mentioned that.
little link in there. I've got to get that
Yeah.
in. Bless him. But my understanding of this, and this was when I was kind of more involved with the staff, and more of a varied selection of staff kind of 6 months ago, was that the money is there. That's the frustration element of it about it, because what would happen is, and I'm not going to say who, but someone would say, right, we need this amount of money, and this is where we need it, and this is where it's going. They'd give that list to Pang, and then Pang would pass that on to Dai Young, and then Dai Young would type in the buttons and the money would come through. Now that's obviously been much more difficult, to the point of very, very serious issues, not just with our own staff, but with the government of this country as well. So I think the money is there. It's not like we're living hand to mouth in terms of, okay, we can't do this. Like, he's proved that. I'm not saying that he's done the right thing, because he definitely hasn't. You cannot run any business, let alone a football club, a community asset, the way that he's been doing that. But in terms of the actual funding, it's clearly there. He just can't use it in the right way. And I was talking to Sim, our editor, about this in the week, and that's kind of the line that we are, say most fans, that's not quite right, but that's kind of where we're at in terms of our understanding or limited understanding of a very difficult situation. So we'll see what happens. But I think we're all agreed, Chris, that actually, with your question, this will only end when we get a new guy in, or new
Good
person. Not
question.
Yeah, it is a very good question. Great surname as well. Love that. Love it. Really, really good. It's cheered me up no end, that, Chris. Thank you for that. Mark Mayo, our podcast host alumni, Love that word. Don't use that enough.
Alumni, yeah, great word.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
how do you say it? I
I would
say
say
alumni.
alumni, but alumni organizations and things like that are a big deal in America. So,
Okay.
yeah, maybe that's just been poisoned in my brain, you know.
Okay. Well, I would say he's chipped back into our DMs. That's not quite true because we do have access to him in other ways. But he's basically asked a question, is what I'm trying to get at, Ross.
Yep.
He said, is the sellers might quit stuff a bit of a bluff? What do you think about that?
Good question, Mark. I don't think Sellers
Always.
is going to quit. It seems that he's given a lot of assurances to some of the senior players on the staff. Like that was another thing that was coming out of the discussions that players had with fans over the weekend. So I think that he doesn't want to see himself as another part of someone who just went, oh, I can't do this at Reading, and moved on. I think that he was convinced by Mark Bowen as well. So if Bowen is here, Sellers is here is kind of what I think at the moment. Pour one out for Ruben Sellers, by the way. He's come to England. He spent a year where he had to, coach Ralf Hasenhüttl's team and then basically get sidelined by Nathan Jones, who, I mean, the less said about that, the better. And then he had to try and resurrect Southampton's season when they were going through all kinds of nightmare situations in the boardroom. And the amount of people from Southampton who have left in the last year, obviously their academy is very famous. They've lost a lot of academy staff in the last year. Like there are a lot of people at that club losing faith. And then Sellers, gets sold this rebuild project for Reading, and then gets a week of being able to make some really great signings in Savage and Wing, probably excited to really get going for the new season. It's immediately been hit with a new thing. So I don't think Sellers is going to quit. I think that Sellers wanted to be at Southampton for 10 years, is what he was saying last season. I think he's someone who's up for the fight. I don't personally think he's going to quit, but I really feel for him. Got to wonder what his opinion of English football is by the end of this year.
I think when you it's another one of those. I'm just someone's kind of going to chuck it out there in terms of the Twitter sphere and see what happens. Personally, I agree with you, Ross. I don't think he's going to walk away at this stage. Although no one would blame him, I don't think he'd have a difficulty getting a new job in terms of, look, I was sold this, but actually they've asked me to do something different. It happens all the time in industry. It's just the way it
Right.
is. But Mark goes on to say, anyone with the mild ability to use Google knew what they would be taking on, and he's right. He
Yeah.
is frustrated. You could see that on Saturday. You could see, the press conferences through the summer. He's not built a team that he wants yet. Now, whether or not he's going to be able to do that, before the transfer window shuts in what, end of August, so he's got a month really to get himself together. I guess the only thing there is the kind of start that we have. Now we've been realistic and said that actually, I don't think it's going to be a positive start for us. I don't expect us to pick up many points, if any, with the current squad that we've got. And we've already got potentially three players out in Hutchinson, Nibbs and Smith.
Yeah.
There was a rumor going around about Nibbs not quite being ready or having a small injury. So that's already three potentially starters that you're missing. So he really needs to be backed, I think, at this point.
The question that I have about Sellers with all of that is, what was he told in terms of where Reading expect to compete this season? Was he told that this is a season of consolidation? We've had 5 of the last 6 seasons where we've been in a hand to foot relegation battle. We just need one season of some sort of consolidation. Was he told, look, this is probably a season where we're going to finish 10th to 15th? Or was he told that he was going to have resources to immediately push for a return to the championship? If the latter, then I could maybe understand him getting frustrated and walking. But I again, Mark makes a good point. Anyone with a cursory Google search could see what was going on with Reading. I think anyone smart enough in football could understand that this might not be an immediate promotion push. It might be a season of consolidation.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about predictions, but not just for the Peterborough game, but just generally in terms of our season, a little bit later on in the pod. But it's a good point. What was he actually told when they sat down and went, oh, we to be a manager? Like, what are they expecting, right now? And whether or not that aligns with the fan base, I don't know. I guess a lot of this stuff has happened and they weren't really expecting it, so only he can tell us that. We've got another one from Dave Andrews. Confident we can pay that bill and pick up at least two signings before Saturday, Ross?
No.
At least two.
Confident. Confident about a Reading behind the scenes? No,
Yeah.
it's more of like a hope thing than anything else. No, I wouldn't say I'm confident of that. Maybe I'm more expectant that we can pay that tax bill this week, but in terms of the team that's going to go out against Peterborough, I mean, we'll talk about it in a bit. No, I'm not expecting any new signings in that team before. I just want Savage to be confirmed. That's the
Yeah.
most important thing to me right now. Like I said, he looked quite exciting in the first half on Saturday. So if we can just confirm the signings we've already made, I don't think I've actually seen Lewis Wing with a Reading crest on for a week or two now. So that's most important for me. I don't need two more signings to be confirmed. I just need the two previous ones to be confirmed.
I love the use of the word crest. We're pulling them all out today, aren't we? It's
Oh,
fantastic. I
yeah.
haven't heard the word crest for ages. It's
These might
great.
be the slightly Americanized versions of the
Yeah.
word, you know. Might be my fault there.
Do you know what? I'm going to disagree with you. I think we will. I think
Okay.
they will be busting a gut if they haven't already paid it. You know, I haven't looked today, but I know there'll be people out there that are kind of literally on the old EFL website in terms of the embargoes list. I think they'll be busting a gut to pay it, and I think they're. Based on some of the bits that I've seen, and I guess everyone else has, you know, it's not exclusive information that I've been given access to, but I feel like there's deals that are already backed up that are ready to go. I think, you know, the Wing and Savage thing was probably, whilst potentially true in terms of them not being registered, I think it's probably just a formality at this stage. I cannot imagine that they would be looking at that and saying, yeah, don't worry, you know, just pay the tax bill when you can. Like it's absolutely urgent. Once
Right.
that's gone through, the money's in the account, we can go again. So, you know, there are some interesting players still available, but actually we've got to get them through. Last one from Benjamin Vickers, who always comes up with some really good questions, actually. He said he watched the Swansea friendly on TV, thought Rashisha, have I said that right?
I'm
Rashisha.
not sure. We'll learn, I guess, in the first few weeks of the season.
Yeah. Look good. Would you take him?
Yes. If there's a signing to be made this week, I'd like Rashisha just because it leaves us not having to just fill a square peg into a round hole in central midfield, you know, one of the most important positions. Yeah, I'd like to see him play. It seemed like he linked up nicely with Savage. So yeah, definitely that would be one of the signings that I would bring on. It seems that some of the other trialists, other than maybe Tyler Bindon, have moved on at this stage, but Rashisha is still hanging around. So I'm hoping this isn't like a Luongo situation like last summer. I'm hoping that,
Yeah.
you know, he doesn't spend the entire preseason with us and then ends up playing for Cheltenham in a few weeks' time. Let's have Rashisha at Reading.
I think the amount of minutes that he's got either means that they're really keen on him, and it's a contract situation in terms of, you know, as we all know, without going over old wounds again,
Yeah.
or they were kind of undecided about him, but there was something that they saw. I think personally he will sign.
Yep.
I don't think we have the luxury this season of kind of. I say getting on players' backs, that's not quite right. But, you know, last season, particularly for me, I was like, I don't want him to play. I don't want him to play. You know, I want to see this player instead. We
Right.
just need them through the door now. And if they are acclimatized to the situation we're in and they've played on the pitch and all those kind of little details that add up to the big stuff, then for me, you just got to get it done and work it out from there. But yeah, I would, you know, I'd agree with you, Ross. So yeah, it's a firm yes from both of us, really. Ross, we're going to have a little look at kind of previews if we can. Now we're going to kind of look at kind of the wider league in general, but also where you think we will end up this season. So we're going to have a short message and then we'll be back with you with the preview of the 23-24 League One season.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis, and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
Welcome back to episode 345 of the Tilehurst End podcast. We are mere days away from the start of what is planning out at the moment to be a very, very difficult season. I said to someone last night, I don't think I've ever been less excited for a league campaign to start. We desperately need something, and I think, based on where we are currently, it kind of the fan base tends to fluctuate between sort of expectation and reality. And if we'd had this conversation a week ago, we might be saying, yeah, playoffs. And
Right.
now I'm feeling like, well, if we stay in the league, it'll be a a great result for us. Ross, realistically, as of now, right now at 12:48 on Monday afternoon, 4 or 5 days away before we kick off against Peterborough, where do you expect us to finish?
I think Gallo's humour would dictate that, Reading fans are just being repeatedly kicked in the private parts at the moment. So the most painful thing that could happen would be to finish seventh on the last day. And then with a pitch invasion maybe to go along with it. So I'd like to say seventh just for the humour of it, but no, you're right. A week ago, maybe I would have been saying playoffs. I'm going to say 10th. I think that Ruben Sellers is the real deal. He's a man who's been all around Europe and coached in lots of different places. And if the team can put together something of a squad, it may be partly through August and partly in the January transfer window, then I could see us having a decent second half of the season. But I think we're all going to have to be quite patient through August. There are some teams that have been gearing up for decent runs at the League One title for a few years, and we are not one of them. So a good second half of the season is what we can really hope for, and let's go a 10th place.
I mean, that's a lot of ifs, isn't it? And I think that's exactly where I'm at in terms of, if we go on a bit of a rampage over the next 2, 3 weeks and bring in quality reinforcements and are able to get in players and bed them in quickly, we're looking further up. But right now, looking back to the last game against Swansea, the pre-season friendly, that team is it good enough to stay in the league? I hope so. You'd like to think there's enough experience and enough nows. I guess the positive is the players that we have brought in, in Nibbs, Smith, Wing, and Savage, they have got experience of League One recently. So it's not like we're asking players to drop down a league and acclimatise to it to a new situation. Those four, which you'd like to think will form the backbone or part of the backbone of the team, which we've not had for a few years now, by the way. They'd be able to guide us a little bit, but they can't do 3 or 4 jobs on the football pitch. So, right now, I would settle. I mean, I think mid-table, anything 14 and above, that's a great season right now. If in 2, 3 weeks' time or towards when the window shuts, we've brought in another, six, seven players that are going to add real quality and depth to the team, not just starting 11, but on the bench as well, then potentially looking further up. What concerns me with this League One this season is although the big boys have gone, we've had Sunderland down there for a few years, they've since departed. Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday, Plymouth to some extent, by all accounts, they're one of the best teams that League One has seen in recent years. There are still kind of perennial underachievers and teams that again, without using that word again, but are stuck in a malaise. Now you look at Portsmouth, they've not really kicked on for the last 6 or 7 seasons. They've just kind of stagnated. Charlton, very, very similarly, they've had their own issues with ownership. Dare I say it, teams like Oxford might be looking further up. Lincoln might be a surprise. So, take out the top two, which realistically most people would agree to be Derby and Bolton. There's a kind of chasing pack in the middle there of clubs that are pretty much on the same level. I mean, how do you feel about, the other teams in and around us in terms of that kind of middle pack, but also those teams further up? Do you think we've got enough to compete at the moment, or is it going to be a struggle?
I think it's going to be a struggle to compete with, like you're saying, Bolton are going to be tricky. I actually hadn't even thought about Derby, but that is a good point. I will point out Portsmouth had a really good end to the season. They picked up a new manager, I think, in the second half of the season, and they really kicked on and almost made the playoffs. So Portsmouth could be interesting. I do like, by the way, that it's a very 2000s Premier League that we've got going on in League One this season. We've got Reading, Bolton, Portsmouth, Charlton. I think that was my first ever Premier League game for Reading, was seeing us beat Charlton 2-0 in the first season back. So Yeah, I'm excited about that. Leaning on Gab Sutton's predictions a little bit. Bolton, like you said, are looking pretty good. Portsmouth as well. Like I said, I think I can see them playing well. And big club Portsmouth, you know, that'll be a fun away day for some of the fans. So yeah, I confess to not knowing too much about the clubs that have come up from League Two or anything like that. But I'm actually expecting, you know, the teams that are going to be doing well this season to be some of those 2000s Premier League teams, some of those old big boys. So yeah, it could be tricky for Reading because of that.
I think the other thing as well, I haven't even mentioned Peterborough, Barnsley, Blackpool, you know, Wigan, probably similar state to where we are, if not worse, potentially. Not really sure where they're at the moment, but you know, there are other clubs around there that might kick on. You know, Leyton Orient might be a bit of a surprise. There's a lot of unknown quantities, but there's also quite a lot of expectations some of those clubs to be able to push on. And one thing that we don't have is straight away expectation on the manager or the players or the pressure attached to that. I don't think anyone, and if they are, fair play to them, but I don't think anyone sat there going, yeah, we're going to get in the playoffs or top two. I don't think that's the general consensus at the moment. So we do have that on our side, which I guess is a rare positive at this stage. I mean, in terms of our squad, you know, we're going to move on to the Peterborough preview in a minute, but overall, when you look at, you know, the season coming up and the amount of games that we've got to play, you know, first week of the season we play three games. That's quite intense coming up back off what was essentially a week to week situation with pre-season. Do you feel that there is anyone, you know, if you were asked by someone, you know, who's Reading's star man, what would you be saying at the moment to that particular question?
Yeah, that's tricky, isn't it? Because like everybody told us when we got Lewis Wing that he's the real deal and a great player at this level, had 15 goal involvements in League One last season. And we haven't seen anything from him yet. So it's difficult to really say wing, but I mean, he certainly could be somebody who really makes a difference once he gets into the squad. At the moment, I think that the two that I think are gonna have a good season. Charlie Savage, I really, really think he's a good player. I know it's preseason, but I think there's a reason why he was selected as a captain for Manchester United during their preseason. I like players who are captain material in inverted commas. So I think that this could be a really good season for Savage. And then Mbenge, I thought that Mbenge was class in the championship. So I think that at this level, he should only be better, right? And he's such a versatile player. We could see him playing at lots of different places. I've actually got him as a maybe in a few positions for the Peterborough game. But yeah, I think that Mbenge could be a real, you know, we've kind of leaned on Holmes a lot in the last couple of years. And that has worked out in times, and it has also put a lot of pressure on Holmes and not worked out at other times. So I think that Mbenge stepping up would really help out Reading. And so yeah, Mbenge and Savage for me.
I'm just looking at the official, say official, but the kind of the registered list that we've got on our website at the moment for first team players, and it's just, you know, it's frightening how little players we do actually have that are what's called first team. What one thing that is interesting is that Højlund is still listed on there.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Now, whether or not that is just an admin error, I mean, a lot of the other players have been removed and the new players have been put in, so you'd like things up to date. Obviously, Ajaero, we've hardly talked about because he's not been around. We don't know what the situation. I think, you know, you alluded to it last week in terms of we hope he's okay. But I mean, for me on that list, I'm really looking for one of the new boys to be the star player. And I'm kind of putting all my eggs in one basket with Harvey Nibbs. Because it, you know, he's got the experience of League One. He knows what he's doing. He looked quite sharp in the games or the bits that I've seen, you know, pre-season. So I'm hoping that he's gonna have a bit of a breakout season for us because we, as I said, we do need that spine. The other player that I'd want to see more of is a Brafer. I really like him as a player, and I think, you know, if we could develop a system where it's him on the right and Guinness Walker on the left. you know, what happens with Yeardon, we don't know. He might be sold because he's one of the only sellable assets that we've got right now. So someone might come in for him, not sure. But I would really like this to be the season of a Brayford would be fantastic, really. We're gonna head into the preview if we can for the Peterborough game, which is 3 o'clock kickoff at the Select Carleton Stadium on Saturday, 5th of August. What have you got for us, Ross? What are you thinking? Potential scoreline, but more importantly, have you got like a starting 11 for us that you think, you know, as of now, this would be the team that you'd expect to see on a pitch?
Yeah, of course. It's like it all starts from what are Reading actually going to be able to field. But briefly on Peterborough, it doesn't. They obviously had a very difficult exit from the league last season. They were beaten by Sheffield Wednesday, who came back from 4-0 down in the playoff final. We know that playoff hangovers are real. It happened to us. It happened to Huddersfield last season. It can be really tricky to get the atmosphere going again after a loss in the playoffs. On top of that, they've got other issues. So talking about the 11 for the game for Reading this weekend, the thing to note on them is that they have issues with size and defense. So I think that means that we're probably going to see Carroll, especially with Smith out. So starting from the back, starting from the other side, it looks like Bouzanis is going to be the starting goalkeeper, which but you know,
Look, we're getting behind the players this season. I did
we're getting
just
behind the
pull a
players.
face, but I,
Exactly.
given the choice, if that is what we've got, you know, whether Boyce Clark signs or not is kind of irrelevant at this stage. I would prefer to see Jockel start. That would be my personal opinion, but I think you're right. I think Bouzanis will probably get the nod.
Yeah, it seems that he's been told he's somewhat of a senior player this season, so I think that he's going to get his chance. Sat behind Lumley for most of last season, so I think that at least through the first couple games of the season, and I do think that goalkeeper is one of the positions that will be upgraded. Bouzanis is going to be starting. So I've got Bouzanis at the back. I've got Yeardon on the right, and I've got Nesta Guinness-Walker on the left. In the middle. It's tough to say that Tom Holmes isn't going to start. He always starts for Reading. So I think that Holmes is going to be there until he really plays himself out of the team. And then it comes down to, do we sign Rashisha? Because if we don't sign Rashisha, then I think Mbenge is going to have to start in central midfield or McIntyre. If we do sign Rashisha, then maybe we play Mbenge at the back, but I think I'd quite like to see Dorsett alongside Holmes. I think he's actually been a little bit better than Holmes through the preseason. I don't necessarily think he's 100% ready yet. He's going to make mistakes, but for me, this is the time to start playing Dorsett. So again, across the back, I've got Yeardon, Dorsett, Holmes, and Guinness Walker.
One of the things I was interested to see, or quite surprised here, was that Holzman's gone out on loan to the League of Ireland. I thought that was a really interesting decision. I don't think we're in a position where we can start sending players out. Now, obviously, their season finishes. I might be wrong, but I feel like it might be end of August, September time. So it might be that actually, do you know what, you've not had enough pre-season. Go and treat this like your pre-season, then come back and potentially compete for a space. I don't know. I was very, very surprised at that. So, you know, if you look at the under 21s, there is options there, but it goes back to that classic thing. You know, they've been kind of handicapped over the last few seasons with managers that we've had not wanting to promote the youth, and they're not ready, basically. So I think, yeah, you're pretty much on the money there in terms of what I would have said as well. But again, I would prefer to see a Brafer over a year. I feel like this is turning into like Moneyball Part Two, where he's like Brad Pitt's going, I want to see this player over this player. But
Can we recreate Lucas Joux in the aggregate? That's the question.
We can't, but we can. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Amazing film. If you've never seen Moneyball, it's one of my favorite
Yeah, it's a
films of
good
all
one.
time. But
Do you want to
yeah,
hear the midfield
I'd
and the
love to.
forwards? All right. So there's been a little bit of okay, so the midfielder kind of playing in that sort of 2-2-2, or the midfield and forwards in that 2-2-2, but it does look sometimes like a 4-3-3. It looks sometimes like a 4-4-2. It's very difficult to predict. What I'm going to say is we make the Rashisha signing, and so Rashisha and Savage start at the sort of back of that as the two sixes, and then I'm hoping that Lewis Wing is ready to go in game one. I don't know if that's already been ruled out, but I'm hoping that Lewis Wing is there. So then you've got three there kind of who are established midfielders and Rashisha, Savage and Wing. Up front, I'd like to see, again, Carroll probably because of the size issues with Peterborough. Alongside him, Nibs and Aziz is what I've got. Not much to choose from, but yeah, Rashisha, Savage and Wing, Nibs, Carroll and Aziz.
On paper, that's an all right midfield and attack, right?
It's all right.
For this level, that's there's a little bit of experience there. There's a little bit of pace. There's a little bit of nous involved. So on paper, that looks okay. I'm not even going to put you on the spot and push you because I'm not that guy. But you know, in terms of the bench, I'm assuming that it's probably easier to say who won't be on the bench rather than who will be based on what we've got available. But yeah. You know. Realistically, there, what we're looking at is the defense is the issue, right? So, what you've predicted, which you know, hopefully does come to pass in terms of Rashisha and maybe getting more players through. You know, if we can get Harley Dean in this week, he goes straight into starting 11. You know, whether he's ready or not, you go right, bang, you're in because you're right. Tom Holmes hasn't had a good preseason. In Bengay, depends. You know, it depends what else is available.
Right.
But that certainly that midfield and that attack is more than capable to, you know, not necessarily compete with or do damage against Peterborough, but generally, you know, that's probably better than most other teams in our kind of ballpark in terms of their midfield and attacking options. So we'll see. What we do know is that we're wearing our new home kit for the first time in the league, which is a split opinion, like we talked about last week. Officially, the away kit was announced end of last week, which personally, I don't think I've ever bought a kit quicker. That was absolutely delightful. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Hasn't arrived yet, but I'm a huge fan of it. Just to kind of end the podcast on a lighter note, have you been keeping abreast of the situation with the kind of the international and club kits around the world, Ross? And if so, what's caught your eye?
Oh yeah. Always keeping an eye on the kits around the world. It's definitely one of my favorite pastimes. So yeah, the good way to end the podcast with something a bit more lighthearted. Yeah. So let's see. I've got a few homes. I got one away and I got two thirds for you. So I quite like the Wimbledon shirt. I really like I love that they have Football Manager as their sponsor. I think that's great. And they've gone with a kind of navy and gold sort of approach this season. It's quite muted, but it's very classy. So yeah, I'm really into that. Moving to America made me a big, big fan of the English national team because it's a way that I can connect with back home. So for me, the shirt that I actually want the most right now is the long sleeve Real Madrid kit. So I can get Bellingham on the back of it because I am very excited that we've got Jude playing over with Real Madrid. So that's very good. Away shirt, check out the Plymouth away. It's very nice.
That's lovely. Their home shirt as well is gorgeous.
Yeah, they did a really good job. So Plymouth away, very, very nice. And then I got two thirds, which couldn't be more different. I like the Monaco third a lot. It's very modern, very cool, kind of got like a almost slash sort of thing to it. And then the last one I'll mention, absolutely gorgeous kit, Hearts of Midlothian. They've gone for an old school sort of retro vibe with no sponsor. It's almost like entirely white. And then they've got like the heart badge. That's the word I should be using. They've got the heart badge.
Not crest. Yes, thank
crest,
you.
Not a crest, a badge. So yeah,
there was a cracking video of someone that put up on Twitter, I guess, originally from Snapchat and then was posted to Twitter. But the queue to get that shirt from the Hearts fans was just crazy, absolutely crazy. And it is a really, really nice shirt. It's check that one out. It's not good if you're eating a sauce-based dish, though, because it would go everywhere and potentially stain. But yeah, I mean, that's a nice collection of shirts. I like the Plymouth ones a lot. The other shirt that I like that I didn't think I would when I first saw it, but it's really grown on me, is the Bayern Munich away shirt. It's kind of black, but it's got like, it's hard to explain if you're not seeing it, but it's got like kind of different kind of bits in it. It's really, really nice. And the other shirt I saw, which I don't like, but is an interesting concept, is the Birmingham away shirt, which is Nike. Yeah. They're all completely different. Well, not completely different, but they've all got variations of them. So the kind of the pattern is different on every single shirt, which again, nice from a collector's point of view, I guess, you know, because it's like, oh, actually, I've got a different one or whatever. So yeah, but you know, from our point of view, the away one is, I think, is absolutely superb, absolutely superb. They've done a really, really good job with that, and we'll have to wait and see if there's another shirt released this week. Who knows? Maybe there will be, maybe there won't be. We'll have to wait and see. But it's a little bit of fun anyway in what is essentially, you know, quite a gloomy landscape at the moment. So we'll
Yeah,
see.
thank you for indulging me, Ben.
No, I know you like shirts, and I know that
Yeah.
you're abroad at the moment, or back in your home country. So I thought I'd try and help you out a little bit more, really. You've got Palmeiras on as well, which is almost like the Plymouth one.
I
So.
will say, actually, last thing on shirts, the big I'm sure you can guess, but the big seller in America right now for shirts is the number 10 jersey into Miami. I think that everyone listening to this is going to know exactly why that's the case. I'm not even going to mention the name of the player, but
Yeah.
the highest selling shirt right now in America is definitely the number 10 jersey into Miami.
Quite phenomenal the impact that a player can have on shirt sales, really, isn't it? But yeah, you can do everything you want to, but actually it comes down to shirt sales and merchandise. So yeah. Listen, Ross, thank you so much for joining me on this our both Monday lunchtimes. For once, we're both in the same time zone. And
Nice to
you
be
are,
aligned.
of course, heading to the game on Saturday, which will be good for everyone involved. We will would you a podcast actually, would you someone from the club is due to come on Friday with us. Whether or not they're going to do that yet, I don't know, given everything that's going on. But we're due to record again on Friday. Either way, we'll be back on Monday next week to talk about the Peterborough game, I guess. And go from there. But thank you very much for joining us this week. Hopefully we can all keep our chins up and move forward positively with any good news that comes out of the club this week. But we will either way have a game to talk about this time next week when we review the game against the Posh. Ross, have a really good week. Enjoy your time over here.
Thank
Look
you.
after yourself. Get some ales in, some real ales.
Oh yeah, don't worry. That we've already been well on that, but the Berkshire Brewery hasn't been trialed yet, so on the way.
On the way. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. Have a really good week, and we will see you again on podcast number 346 next week. We're rattling through these numbers. All the best. Come on, you Isles.